You want to pray for me? Amen. Wow, that was good. I'll be calling on you more often. Now, when you hit that spot, man, Shirley, what is it you say? Bring that? Is that what you say? Bring that. Then you say, right there, bring that. I was thinking, you know, whenever Shirley's first experience in the third heavens, before on that sea of glass, picture of fire, there's worship, this amazing worship, this incredible, 10,000s of angels, and Shirley's first moment there, I want to be there. I want to hear, yeah, bring that, right there. That's going to be so good. thank God. I so love to worship here at CTK. Hope you never take that for granted. It's just a real privilege. And thank God. I think it was Thursday, the Lord kind of spoke this word to my heart. I had some other things been evolving during the week. And so eventually, I'm sure I'll get to that, but at some point down the road. It's all kind of connected to some things we've been saying lately. That birthed out of the whole woman at the well thing, and then the story leading up to it about Jesus bearing witness to what he saw and heard. In those verses before, it said, he who comes from above is above all. He who's of the earth speaks of the earth, but who comes from heaven is above all. That's just a remarkable game changer. And that has just hooked me, gotten me infatuated with what. Because Jesus was explaining there, we know that Jesus stewarded the life of the Father, right? He said in John 14:10, there was only one explanation for the things that he did. It was the Father himself doing the works in him and through him. But Jesus was the author and perfecter of faith, and that's what faith looked like to Jesus. He only did those things he saw the Father doing, only said those things he heard the Father saying. And I did get to listen. We were all going to go hear somebody in Birmingham Thursday night. It didn't work out. And I got to listen to a few minutes of a word and from this person. And they said something real succinct that was really good. I thought it was lined up with what we've been saying. Really encouraged me. And one of the things that they said was that you say what you see. That's really what those verses are saying. Jesus bore witness to what he saw and heard. He manifests what he saw and heard. But I'll take it a step farther. If you remember those verses in John 3, he didn't just bear witness of what he saw and heard. And what he saw from an above perspective, from heaven's perspective. And he bore witness of what he saw and heard. And because he bore witness, because he spoke the words of the Lord, he released the Spirit without measure. And that which he saw and heard that he spoke became manifest in this realm. So what he saw and heard in that realm, he spoke and became real in the physical realm. So we can take it a step further and say that you say what you see and you end up seeing what you say. That's just the way faith works. And actually, as I've said to you before, everybody on the earth lives by faith. You're saying what you see and hear from earth's perspective or from heaven's perspective, and you do manifest what you say according to what you've seen and heard, whether it's death and destruction and yuck, or the Spirit of God without measure who releases into this realm that which you've seen and have said in that other realm. Just part of the deal. Let me read this verse to you again. I read before, but again, you don't really say so in it, but I act like I'm being a polite southerner, like I'm giving you say so, but you really don't say so. I thought, if you don't mind, I'll do this, but it really doesn't matter. You know, of course. This is verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 4. It says, but having the same spirit of faith, so here's what the spirit of faith is. He says, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. That's the spirit of faith. Is that you believe and you speak. And primarily we believe what's written, right? The more you get familiar with what's written, you also begin to see things that's in the spirit realm. Jesus didn't walk around with an open scroll all the time. but he still could see what the Father was doing and say what the Father was saying. So what he saw, he said, and what he said, he ended up seeing, because the Spirit made it real. Amen? And so Friday night, Ron and I were sitting around. So this is a copyright thing. I want to put a footnote in here. I got to give credit to Ron at some level. And so we were just talking about things of the Lord, and he brought up this chapter 9 of John. I thought, that is so cool, Ron. And it fit what the thoughts I was already having. I was thinking about talking about today. I thought, well, that sealed the deal. So I give credit to Ron for bringing the scripture up to me and some things that were said. So what I'm going to talk about today is a continuation of what we've been saying, teaching. But there's going to be an emphasis on the manifestation of the supernatural, particularly in the area of healing. That's interesting, because one of the reasons I'm sitting in this chair is because on the inside there's a yippie running around. I'm just really happy. Not just a hippie, but a yippie. There's still a hippie running around, but I'm just a yippie in here too. But the cure is killing me. And so some of the medicines, you know, I've been telling the story, was one of the medicines to take, cholesterol, which I've quit because the doctor told me to quit. And a few weeks ago, because for some people it causes really serious myopathy. And so I have what they call the statin shuffle. Some days this leg feels like it's going to support me. Some days it feels like it's not. It's affected my neck and back and some other things. So I've been contending for healing. I've seen some breakthroughs, but still fighting for it. So you go, well, what right to you to talk about healing when you're dealing with all this stuff? That's the thing that gives me the right the most. I mean, Jesus said, they rebuked Jesus because Jesus had a party in Matthew's house, because he was after the story we're going to go to in a few minutes in Matthew chapter 9. And they rebuked him because he was hanging out with sinners. And Jesus said, don't you know that physicians come looking for the sick? You know, the people who think they're well don't need a physician. He's talking about that spiritually, morally, but I'm thinking, those who need a physician love to talk about the physician. We actually talk more about them than people who don't think they need a physician, right? And so, we've got all kinds of medical people in this church, and MDs, Dr. McPhillips here, Osa's here, Dr. Keto, others are here this morning. And so we know God heals that way, right? But I know they also believe in the supernatural manifestation of miraculous healing. And Paul's good buddy was a doctor, and yet they saw all kinds of signs and wonders. And so I'm wanting to get to these places. I don't know if I said this recently, I said it at noon. But, you know, we've said before that we keep waiting for him to show up. He's waiting for us to show up. But he's not waiting for us to show up to some place where we've kind of like earned. You know, we finally reached this place, and therefore, you know, we've worked hard to get to that place. We finally got to that place, and so God will do stuff. But he's actually waiting for us to show up in faith to receive the place he's already provided for us. That really deserved an amen. He's not waiting for us to arrive to some place we've striven to get to. He's waiting for us to come to a place in our heart and our mind, our thinking, where we're resting in and believing from a place he's already purchased for us. That's the whole grace thing, right? I don't walk around, oh, Jesus live in me, Jesus live in me, Jesus live in me, Jesus live in me, Jesus live in me. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who is present tense living in me right now. So I live from that reality, not for that reality. Comprende? I like that word. It's the only Spanish word I know other than enchilada. Which, by the way, Carol Bowen, she's an amazing cook. She's been promising me enchiladas, healthy enchiladas. She finally figured out how to get healthy veggie cheese. That may sound bad to you, but if you've been in this place I've been for the last 5 months, you know, that sounds like the word craft to a really hungry mouse, you know. And so she said, I got your enchiladas. Spinach, tortilla, veggie cheese, everything, grilled chicken. Good Lord Almighty. I spoke Spanish for about 30 minutes. I knew every word in the alphabet. It just came out of my innermost being. Sorry. Jesus said something about your mouth will reveal what's in your heart. You say what you see. That's what I'm seeing. Enchiladas, lasagna. All right. So chapter 9, verse 1. Let me finish this little story. We were Dan and Deborah Witt recently in North Carolina. They walk and is releasing healing anointing as much as anybody I've known personally. But they had this vision or dream, I forget what it was. They saw this giant crab with these pinchers just like doing stuff because Deborah had like passed out or almost passed out a couple of times and some stuff had happened. And I said, we just believe that's just the Lord showing us that the enemy is just harassing, going after. And I said, what do we do about that? And it just came out of me. I said, make him pay for it. Become more intentional about praying for the sick than you've ever been in your life. You with me? So, verse 1, chapter 9. And as he passed by, saw a blind man from birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Now, understand that's important because this was the common theology of the Jewish people. That if you were sick, you know, it had to be because of sin, your sin or your parents' sin. You've inherited some kind of thing from the fall, sin, and therefore that's why you're sick. But let me just say this to you. If you're born blind, or even if you became blind at some point in your life, the people around you, well-meaning religious people, saying it's because of sin doesn't really help the situation at all. But you understand, that's what they saw and heard. To their tradition, that's what they saw and heard. And so that's what they spoke. And it didn't do anything to get the man healed, did it? He just stayed blind. But I love the fact that Jesus saw, didn't just see a blind man, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Jesus saw his whole history. And because Jesus was always moved with compassion, and because his work was to always reveal the goodness of the Father, right? Jesus was always saying to the Jews, the Father you thought you knew isn't the Father that I know. Therefore, you need to get reacquainted with the real Father, and he's good. And so Jesus answered and said to them, but remember, that was the popular theology. Now, isn't that true? Isn't that like us? We always see what's wrong with people. Why is that? Why do we always see what's wrong with them? Why don't we see beyond that? I find that to be true in believers. Really, it's crazy. These would be considered believers, right? These were the disciples, right? Why can't we ever get past what's wrong with them or what they did wrong? Why can't we ever transcend and see something beyond that? It says a lot about what you believe about God as your Father. Which will explain a lot of why the guilt and shame and frustration you personally might deal with all the time yourself. Jesus said, it was neither this man's sin nor his parents, he said, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him or enlightened in him. What is Jesus saying? Is Jesus saying the guy was made blind so that God could get credit for healing? No. But you see, what they saw and heard was the fall and the results of the fall and sin. Jesus said, you know, the devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come to kill, steal, and destroy what the devil is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come to steal his thunder. And what I see is the setup. What you see is the setback of the fall, or the people saying, I just see a setup. This man's like this so that God can show how good he is. Do you understand the difference? So all they saw was the situation. They bore witness of what Earth's report was. Jesus saw a man born blind, but he saw an opportunity for the light of God to dispel darkness. And he's trying to train these boys. And that's important because he says to them, the next statement, verse 4, we. He said, boys, this is for us. We must work the works of Him who sent me. As long as it is today, as day, and night is coming when no man can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But Jesus said the word we. And if you remember in Matthew 5:14, the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And so Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world, and we, as long as you're in the world, you're the light of the world. You carry the light of Christ. And we're not just to see darkness and discuss darkness and talk about darkness and describe darkness and try to figure out why darkness is there. I believe in Christian psychology. My wife is a psychologist, a counselor. I believe in counseling. But good Lord, we've bought into the world's way of trying to approach healing. We psychobabble people to death. Even in our inner healing ministries, we're forever trying to figure out, how did you get here? Don't we? Don't I? And we're forever uncovering the deeper root. Good Lord Almighty. After 30 or 40 years, they're going to lose hope that we're ever going to get to that tiny little simple root that's really behind all the issues. So we're always coming up with new keys, new secrets, new ways. We're as charismatics, we're pests, especially that way. Remember, if those of you here Wednesday night, Jesus said to his disciples, I won't leave you as orphans, but I'm going to come to you and be in you and with you. And I know there's a real popular teaching, I'm not against it, where like everybody's got an orphan spirit, but and that's fine. I mean, that may be true, maybe you're all getting attacked. But that's not the answer. The answer is the truth. That's pretty light. You don't have an orphan spirit. That is who you are. You may have one hassling you, but that's not your identity. Amen. You have the Spirit of God in you crying, Abba, Papa, Daddy, Father. So Jesus was born blind. They want to know, why is that so? There must be something wrong. Jesus is going, I tell you what, let's cut to the chase. This is an opportunity for the light of God to dispel darkness. And oh, by the way, this is why I do when I'm in the world, and this is what you're to do while you're in the world, too. And so, of course, Jesus did that practical thing that you always do with a blind person. He spit on the ground, made some clay, and then put the clay on top of a man who's already blind. Why did Jesus do that? Because he only did those things he saw the Father doing. And he only said those things he heard the Father saying. And of course, the guy got healed, and everybody got ticked. Look at Matthew chapter 9. So, what right do I have contending for healing in areas of my own body to talk about this kind of stuff? Every right. I need a physician. You know? I'm at the place where it doesn't make me settle down and go, okay, this is the way it is. No. I don't want to settle for that. Right? I won't accept this as normal. Verse 1 of Matthew 9, and getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. Behold, they were bringing him a paralytic lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, take courage, my son. your sins are forgiven. That's in the perfect tense. In other words, Jesus says, not only have your sins now been forgiven, they're still forgiven, they're going to be forgiven, they're forever forgiven. That's not an issue anymore. Now, why was that important? The story I just read to you. People thought that people were sick because something was wrong with them. Because they had done something wrong. Jesus wanted to get that one out straight up. Your sins are forgiven. And if you'll go back, read one of the places where this is in a house that Jesus was staying in. And most of the people there, one of the gospel lessons says it was filled with Pharisees and teachers of the law. And so the father liked to pick fights because he tried to destroy their wrong thinking. And so right up, straight up, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. That's out of the way. Been forgiven, are forgiven, will stay forgiven. Period. That made him mad. Behold, some of the scribes and Pharisees said to themselves, this fellow blasphemes. And one of the other two gospel lessons this is in says, for only God can forgive sins. That's true. Jesus simply said what he heard God saying. See, when you say what you see, and if it's heaven's report, you've made incarnational the very presence and the voice of God into that situation. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he says, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? And the other two versions says, and why are you reasoning about these things? They're thinking. And Jesus said, why are you thinking evil in your heart? You remember when Jesus comes off the mountain with the disciples in several places, Matthew 17, Mark chapter 9, and he comes down off the mountain, and this boy who was demonized, had seizures, and the disciples couldn't get him breakthrough to see him healed. Jesus looks at them, being the sensitive, sweet disciple that he was. He says, oh, you perverse and evil, unbelieving generation. Fucking gee. Why did Jesus do that to them? Why didn't he just comfort them? Boys, you did the best you could. Sometimes you win them, sometimes you don't. Right? I cause all things to work together for good, so just don't feel bad. You tried. You cared. He rebuked them in front of everybody. Don't you know the other three of the disciples were up on the mountain going, thank God Almighty we were up on that mountain. I would have. We're not going to tell them we would want to build a tent for Jesus and Moses and Elijah. We won't tell that part. Bunch of creepy other disciples won't believe. And the man, the boy's father, rats him out and comes and tells Jesus, said, look, I tried to get these guys, and the guy looks at Jesus, and Jesus said to him, the guy looked at Jesus and said, well, can you help me? And Jesus said, can you help me? He said, if you believe, anything's possible. And the guy said, I believe. Now help my unbelief. Didn't take much faith. And he got healed. And I'll look at that story again in a few minutes, but now this is what's cool. This is so cool to me. Verse 5. What is easier for you to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? Now, he just confronted everybody with their evil heart, but he also confronted his disciples, and I told you about Mark 9. And he said, which is easier for you to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk? And in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, and he said to the paralytic, rise and walk, take up your bed, go home. He rose and went home. When the disciples saw this, they were filled with awe and glorified God who had given such authority to men. And as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew. This is what I was telling you earlier. Sitting in the tax office, said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. They went and had a party in his house. And it happened as he was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax gatherers and many sinners came and joined Jesus and the disciples at the table. And when the Pharisees saw this, that's what they saw. They said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax gatherers and sinners?" Now hear me, that's what they saw. These were the religious people. Is that what you and I see? Is all that we see is brokenness and failure and sin? That's not what Jesus saw. Do you remember the story leading up to that John 9 passage I just read to you? John 8, the woman caught in adultery, dragged down before them. What they saw was an adulteress. What they saw was the law. What they saw was what she deserved. What Jesus saw was a heart ready to be harvested. And then he said to them afterwards, "You see, I'm come to be the light of the world. And when I see darkness, I see an opportunity for a light." Whenever you see somebody who needs God to touch their life, that's a field that's wide enough to harvest. Jesus, when he heard this, he said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are ill." Then he says this thing, "But go and learn what this means." This is what you need to learn. You've learned so much. You've learned the law. Shouldn't be eating with sinners. You've learned all this. "I desire compassion and not sacrifice. I came to call sinners, not the righteous." So when Jesus saw the man's faith, which they didn't see, by the way, they just saw somebody causing trouble, disrupting the service, didn't fit into the bulletin. Jesus said, let me just say this to you. It's much easier to tell a man to rise and walk. That's much less of a miracle, now hear this, than to say, take up your pallet and walk. Or it's much easier to say that than to say, your sins are forgiven. You need to hear that. Jesus said, which is easier? To say that a man's sins are forgiven or to say, take up your pallet and walk so that you'll know that I have the authority to forgive sins? Which is the biggest issue? Take up your pallet and walk. God got him walk. Now hear me. This is where God challenged me. I was laying in Woody's bed, actually just praying, and the Lord said, it is so easy for you, Chuck, to tell somebody their sins are forgiven. You do it all the time. You have no question about that. You have no uncertainty that when you tell a person who's repentant that their sins are forgiven. If somebody's just taking a step, their sins are forgiven. We do that in Lazarus Ministries all the time. Don't you tell people their sins are forgiven all the time? Have any of you ever had a problem telling somebody who really wanted forgiveness to tell them your sins are forgiven? No. And yet that's much bigger miracle than to say to somebody who's crippled, take up your pallet and walk. That's much easier. And yet in our mind, we think that's much harder. Don't we? You and I wouldn't hesitate to tell somebody, oh, your sins are forgiven. We'd celebrate and cry. We know it's true. We'd lovingly get on them if they doubted it. But to tell somebody who's sick, especially if it's a biggie, that's much harder. That takes much more faith. No, it doesn't. We just have the wrong kind of faith. You see, you and I are convinced that God is so good, He would never deny somebody forgiveness. But we're not so sure He's so good that He would heal somebody. And Jesus said, that's much easier. Now, I'm saying that to you guys as somebody who's contending for healing in my own body. Many of us are. But I'm wanting to shift. Don't you want to shift and think like Jesus thinks? Because if we'll say what we really see, we'll see what we're saying. And I want to see right. I want to come from above. I want to see heaven's report. Right? You guys should be more excited about this. Is it me sitting down that's making it hard for you to get excited? See, it's not so late. You shouldn't get depressed yet. The chicken is still warm. We're on schedule. Even the Presbyterians won't get there before you do. Sorry. 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 But you hear what I'm saying. Let that sink inside of you. Jesus is saying it's much harder. To have a person's sins forgiven is a bigger miracle than a body being healed. So Jesus' faith was childlike in both arenas. We struggle. And it's because we don't think right. We don't really understand heaven's report. We need to set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Hear me? Yes. Amen! There you go. Yeah, Shirley, I need you to jump in here and start preaching. And the whole deal wasn't about the man's sins in John chapter 9. The whole deal wasn't about anything other than Jesus said in verse 13, this is all about, this is what you need to go learn about the compassion of God. When he saw the guy being lowered, he saw their faith. That's what he saw. How many times have I heard people say things like, well, what's that person doing here? In some worship service, whatever. You don't know what they've done. I'm going, I think they're here to seek God. Jeez. And God bless them. They don't have you involved in their life because they'll never come out of wherever they've been. You'll see what you say, what you see or say, and you're gonna see. This whole thing about not giving an earth report, I can't tell you how serious God is about this in my life. And I'm not telling you I got it down. I get pulled into these crazy conversations all the time. And I let myself do it. But I'm learning. I'm learning to repent. I'm going, oh, whoops. You know what I'm saying? Whoa. One of my favorite sermons by Jack Taylor years ago was about Jesus, how Jesus invited us to live in union. The whole thing is the Father sent me, so send out you, to live the same life he's lived by the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus walking on the water. He said, what invoked those guys? He said, was the sight of Jesus conquering. Doing something that was amazing. And then the sound of Jesus calling. Here, you come, you get to walk on water too. Isn't that what he said in John 9? I read to you. He said, we must do these works as long as you have light in your eyes. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Which is to what? Destroy darkness. Everywhere he saw it. Not to focus on darkness. This last thing, then we'll end. Mark, I've been reading to you Mark 9. I won't give you the whole story because I just did. Actually, turn to Matthew 17. That's a better one. They come off the mountain, the demon-possessed boy who had the seizures. They finally pull Jesus aside at the end. They say, how come we couldn't help this guy? And in the Mark passage, it says, well, this kind of only comes out through prayer. In other words, you've got to pray into this kind of lifestyle. Because in prayer, God transforms the way we think, right? And he says in verse 20, they said privately, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd say to the mountain, move from here to here, and it will move, and nothing is impossible to you. Now understand, I don't believe Jesus is saying you just need to get more faith. He said it only takes mustard seed faith, which is one of the smallest seeds there is in the world. But he said the littleness of your faith, I think what he's saying is you're faith is in the wrong thing. Because you remember this demon-possessed boy, it says this kind. This is a particular category. This is a tough one. Wasn't a headache. It was a paralytic on a thing or a demon-possessed boy. And this kind. sees, because it's easy to believe God for things that we think he's slam dunk going to have to be good about, or he's big enough for. But our issue is that sometimes we don't think God's goodness. Therefore, it affects how his bigness can deal with this. Jesus said, you just need mustard seed faith. Remember we did this thing from Mark 5 or 4 years ago? We said, Jesus talked about mustard seed faith then too. He said, it's not about anything other. It's about God's mammoth goodness and simple mustard seed faith. It's not how big your faith is. It's how big your God is. That's what he's saying to them. How big is your God? How good is that God who's so big? See, to the Jews, he was confronting them because they knew God was big. They just didn't believe he was good. Jesus said it was neither this man's sin nor his parents in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must. What did Jesus say in John 4? Lift up your eyes, boys. All you saw was an immoral woman who is a heretic. I saw a heart, a field wide unto harvest. And I spoke that into her life. And what I saw, I said, and what I said, I saw. Lift up your eyes. Think from above. Amen. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.